You're listening to Osho Radio. Welcome, everybody, to our new program. We are very happy to receive all kind of messages from you, from the listeners of Osho Radio. We have some music for you. Making a new program is every time like a new adventure. I hope you like as much listening to it as I like making it. Tonight we have a discourse from the series The Grass Grows by Itself. It's a Zen series. And Osho talks here about the danger of a crowd. He says, in a crowd, nobody feels responsible. So anything is possible, anything can happen. Also in this discourse, he is talking about the difference between belief and trust. Belief, Osho says, is a bridge between the individual and the crowd. And trust, that's an altogether different phenomena. Trust is a bridge between the individual and the cosmos.
Life is a mystery. The more you understand it, the more mysterious it becomes. The more you know, the less you feel that you know. The more you become aware of the depth, the infinite depth, the more it becomes almost impossible to say anything about it. Hence silence. A man who knows remains in such a awe, such infinite wonderment, that even breathing stops. Standing before the mystery of life, one is lost completely. But there are problems. And the first problem with the mystery of life is that there is always possibility for frauds. People who can deceive others, people who can cheat. In the world of science, that is not possible. Science moves on a plain ground with infinite caution. Logical, rational, If you utter something nonsense, immediately you will be caught. Because whatsoever you say can be verified. Science is objective, and any assertion, any statement can be verified in experiments, in the laboratories. With religion, everything is inner, subjective, mysterious, and the path is not plain. It is a hilly track, many ups and many downs, and the path moves like a spiral. Again and again you come to the same place, maybe a little higher. And whatsoever you say cannot be verified. There is no criterion of verification. Because it is inner, no experiment can prove it or disprove it. And because it is mysterious, no logical argumentation can decide this way or that. That's why science is one, and there exist almost 3,000 religions in the world. You cannot prove any religion false. Neither you can prove any other religion to be true and authentic. That is not possible. Because no empirical test is possible. A Buddha says there is no self inside. How to prove this or how to disprove this? If somebody says, I have seen God, and he sounds sincere, what to do? He may be a deluded lunatic. He may have seen a hallucination. Or he may really have seen the reality of existence. But how to prove or disprove? And he cannot share his experience with anybody. It is inner. It is not like an object you can place in the middle and everybody can watch it. And everybody can experiment and dissect it. You have to take it in faith. He may sound absolutely sincere and may be deluded. And he may not be cheating you, trying to cheat you. He may be himself deceived. He may be a very true person. But he has seen a dream and thinks it is real. And sometimes dreams have the quality that they look more real than the reality itself. Then dreams look like visions. He has heard the voice of God, and he is so filled with it, so thrilled. But what to do? How to prove it that he has not gone mad? He has not projected his own mind and idea. No possibility. If there is one genuine religious man, there are 99 with him all around. Few of them deluded. Poor, simple fellows. Good at heart. Not trying to harm anybody. But still, they harm. And then there are few cheats, robbers, deceivers, cunning, clever people. knowingly doing harm, but the harm pays. You cannot find a better business in the world than religion. You can promise, and there is no need to deliver the goods, because goods are invisible. I have heard an anecdote that in America they have invented invisible hairpins for the ladies. One lady was purchasing at a supermarket, and the salesman has given her a packet of invisible hairpin. She looked in the box. She couldn't see. Of course, they were invisible. How can you see? So she said, "But I don't see anything in it." The man said, "They are invisible, so how you can see?" So the lady asked, "Really? Are they invisible?" The man said, "You are asking me? For 7 days we have been out of stock, and still we are selling. They are absolutely invisible." When things are invisible, you can go on selling, promising. There is no need to deliver the goods, because in the first place they are invisible, so nobody can ever detect. And you cannot find a better business than religion, because goods are invisible. I have seen many people being deceived, many people deceiving, and the thing is so subtle that nothing can be said against afar. For example, I know a man who is a simple, plain, stupid man. But stupidity has its own qualities. Particularly in religion, a stupid man can look like a Paramahansa, because he is stupid. His behavior is unexpected, just like an enlightened man. The similarity is there. Because he is stupid, he cannot utter a single rational statement, just like an enlightened man. He is foolish. He doesn't know what he is saying, how he is behaving. Suddenly he can do anything. And this sudden doing seems to be as if he belongs to another world. He has epileptic fits, but people think he is going in samadhi. He needs electric shock treatment. Suddenly he will go in a fit and swoon, and the followers will beat the drums and they will sing the glory of God, and their master has gone into great samadhi, ecstasy. And his mouth starts foaming and his saliva flowing out. He's simply in a fit. He has no intelligence, but that is a quality. And then there are deceivers around him who go on spreading things about the Baba. And many things happen near him. That is the miracle. Many things happen because many things happen on their own accord. The Baba is in a swoon, and many people will feel their kundalini rising. They are projecting. And there is a certain phenomena. If you sit quietly for a long period, the body accumulates energy, and then the body starts moving, feeling restless. Sudden jerks start coming. They think this is kundalini. Kundalini is rising. And when it rises in one person, how you can lag behind? Then others start. Then it is just like One person goes to the toilet, then others feel the urge. One person sneezes, and others have a tremendous sneeze coming to them. It becomes infectious. And when so many things are happening, the Baba must be in Samadhi. He is simply in a fit. In the East, this has been my observation, that only one genuine personage, just 99, are false, either themselves deceived, simple, poor people, are deceivers, cunning, clever people. And this can go on, because the whole phenomena is invisible. What to do? How to judge? And how to decide? Religion is always dangerous. It is dangerous because the very terrain is mysterious, irrational. Anything goes. And there is no outer way to judge it. And there are people then, with their gullible mind, always ready to believe something. Because they need some foothold. Without belief, they feel unanchored, uprooted. They need somebody to believe in. They need somewhere to go and feel anchored and rooted. Belief is a deep need in people. Why it is a deep need? Because without belief you feel like a chaos. Without belief you don't know why you exist. Without belief you cannot feel any meaning in life. No significance seems to be there. You feel like an accident, for no reason at all to be here. Without belief the question arises, why you are, who you are, from where you are coming, where are you going? And not a single answer is there. Without belief there is no answer. One feels simply without any meaning, an accident into existence, not needed at all, not indispensable. You will die and nobody will bother, the whole will continue. You feel something is lacking, a contact with reality, a certain belief. That's why religions exist, to supply beliefs, because people need them. A person without belief has to be very, very courageous. To live without belief is to live in the unknown. To live without belief is a great daring. Ordinary people cannot afford that. Too much daring. Anguish comes in. Anxiety is created. And this has to be noted, that to me a real religious person is without belief. Trust he has, but not belief. And there is a vast difference between the two. Belief is intellectual. You need it, that's why you have it. It is because you cannot live without belief. Belief gives you a support to live. It gives you a certain meaning, however false. It gives you a certain blueprint for the life. How to move, where to move. You are on the highway, not lost in a forest. And belief gives you a community. Other believers just like you. You become a part of a crowd. Then you need not think on your own. Then you are no more responsible for your own being and what you are doing. Now you throw the responsibility on the crowd. An individual Hindu is never so bad as a Hindu crowd. An individual Mohammedan is never so bad as a Mohammedan crowd. What happens? Individuals are not bad. Crowds are simply mad. Because in a crowd, nobody feels responsible. You can commit murders in a crowd easily. Because you know the crowd is doing it. You are just a wave in it. You are not the deciding factor. So you are not responsible. Individual, alone, you feel a responsibility. You will feel guilty if you commit something. This is my observation, that sin exists through crowds. No individual is ever a sinner. And individuals, even if they commit something wrong, can be taken out of it very easily. But crowds are impossible. Because crowds have no souls, no centers, whom to appeal. And all that goes in the world, the devil, the evil forces. In fact, crowd is the devil. Nations are the devil. Religious communities are the evil forces. Belief makes you a part of a bigger crowd than you. And there is a feeling of elation when you are part of something bigger. A nation, India, or America, or England, then you are not a tiny human being. A great energy comes to you. You feel elated. A euphoria is felt. That's why whenever a country is in war, people feel very euphoric, ecstatic. Suddenly their life has a meaning. They exist for the country, for the religion, for the civilization. Now they have a certain goal to be achieved and certain desert to be protected. Now they are no more ordinary people. They have a great mission. Belief is the bridge from the individual to the crowd. Trust is totally different. Trust is not an intellectual concept. Trust is a quality of the heart, not of the head. Belief is a bridge between the individual and the crowd, and trust is a bridge between the individual and the cosmos. Trust is always in God. And when I say God, I don't mean any belief in God. When I say God, I simply mean the whole. Trust is a deep understanding that you are simply a part, a note in a great symphony. Just a small wave in the ocean. Trust means you have to follow the whole, fill with the whole, in accord with the whole. Trust means that I am not here as an enemy. I am not here to fight. I am here to enjoy the opportunity that has been given to me. I am here to be grateful and celebrating. Trust is not in a doctrine. You need not be a Hindu. You need not be a Mohammedan. You need not be a Jain or a Sikh. Trust is a commitment within the individual and the whole. Trust makes you religious. Not Hindu, not Mohammedan, not Christian. Simply religious. Trust has no name. Belief makes you Hindu, Mohammedan, Christian. Belief has names, millions of names. There are thousands of beliefs. You can choose. Trust has only one quality. Quality of surrender into the whole. Quality of moving in accord with the whole. Quality of not forcing the whole to follow you, but simply allowing yourself to move with the whole. Trust is a transformation. Belief is given by the birth. Trust has to be attained. Nobody is born in trust. Everybody is born in belief. You are born a Hindu or a Jain or a Buddha. Belief is given by the society, because belief is the bridge between you and the society. If the society doesn't give you a belief, there is fear. You may become rebellious. In fact, it is certain. If the belief is not given, you will become rebellious. And the society doesn't want that, can't afford that. The society, before you become aware, gives you deep beliefs. In your blood it goes. With the milk of your mother, the poison of belief seeps into your being. By the time you become aware what has happened, you already find you are a Hindu or a Mohammedan or a Christian. The straight jacket is already there. You are imprisoned. And it is very difficult to get out of it, because it gets into your unconscious. It becomes your very foundation. Even if you get out of it, even if you go against it, it will remain in the foundation, because to cleanse the unconscious is very difficult. Consciously you can do it. I have heard it happen. Mulla Nasruddin became an atheist. And he was dying. And the priest came. And the priest said, "Mulla, now this is the last moment and the last opportunity. Still there is time left. You confess your sin. And you confess that you went wrong by becoming an atheist. Become a theist and die believing in God. Mulla Nasruddin opened his eyes and said, "Thank God I am not a theist." Even if you are not a theist, you will thank God. Deep down it remains in the unconscious, it becomes a foundation. Whatsoever you have learned in your childhood before the age of 7 has become your foundation. To uproot it, very great effort in meditation is needed. You will have to move back only then it can be wiped out. You can create empty beliefs that they won't help, they cannot help. You can become a theist, you can be a Hindu in your childhood, then you can be converted to a Christian. You will remain a Hindu. Your Christianity will be colored by your Hinduism. You may become a communist, but deep down the unconscious is there. It will color your communism. A deep meditation is needed to cleanse the unconscious. Trust is totally different. Trust is not in words, in scriptures. Trust is towards life. The very energy that moves the whole. You trust it and you float with it. If it takes you down in the will, you go down in the will. If it takes you out in the swill, you come out in the swill. You move with it. You don't have your own mind about it. If it makes you sad, you become sad. If it makes you happy, you become happy. You simply move with it, with no mind of yours. And suddenly you come to realize that now you have achieved a point where bliss is going to be eternal. In your sadness also then you will be blissful. Because it is none of your business. The whole is doing that way. And you are moving with it. Happiness, okay. Sadness, okay. You simply okay. Everything is okay. This is what a religious man is. He has no mind of his own.
meditation for today is called The Way Out. The way out of the mind is to become aware of the mind and its mechanism, memory, imagination, thoughts, desires, fantasies. The traffic is there, continuously going on. You have just to stand by the side and watch whatsoever is passing, with no judgment, with no evaluation. Just a silent mirror reflecting whatsoever is passing by. Without any commentary, just watching. In the beginning, it seems difficult, because our habit is of continuously commenting. But just a little patience, sitting silently, doing nothing, just watching, it comes. And when it comes, it opens a totally new dimension.
come to your feet, your silence showers me with blessings. Now I can sing songs of awakening. Oh, how I love to hear their sweet melodies. Songs of awakening. Oh, how I long to disappear.
Listen to instrumental music from the world of Osho, and we played songs by Subodha, Deva Premo, Anantricha, and Milarepa. This was Osho Radio for today. We'll be there again for you next time. Namaste.